announcement that I should have made. This Sunday I expect to be at the Cherrydale Assembly, so you won't see me here. Pray for me. Now tonight we continue our discussion from last Sunday, no compromise. And just by way of brief review, we want to look and see some of the things that we established from the Word of God last Sunday. Exodus chapter 3, please. And verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. And we remind ourselves that that expression occurs several times throughout the book of Exodus and in other portions of the Word of God. And today we are God's people. We belong to Him, body, soul, and spirit. And one of the best examples and appreciation of this fact is the story of a young fellow recently saved. And some of his friends, past friends, were inviting him to share in an ungodly pursuit. And he cried out in prayer, Lord, your property is in jeopardy. Please help. That's how he understood that we belong to the Lord. And we surely do. Then we saw that the requirement was 3 days' journey. You get that in chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. You shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey. And we saw the significance of the three. It tells of the Trinity, and it also tells of complete separation. Our Lord rose on the third day, a new beginning, a new life. And then we went on to see that this requirement of 3 days' journey means a complete separation. Then we went on to consider how Satan tries to defeat us in this separation. You know, the world doesn't like separation. They like us, we're all one, we're all together. But if the believer is to be effective in his service, he must practice separation. You remember the illustration of the boat and the water. The smallest boat or the largest boat is quite all right on any body of water until water gets into it. And then we find the same thing with the believer. He does well until he allows the world to get into him. Then he is ineffective. Then the next one, I don't think we touched on this, we find in Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. We might start at verse 25. That'll be a brief review of the worship in the land proposed by Pharaoh. The first compromise. Exodus 8, 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And that is one of the problems we are finding today with the Lord's people. Many believers are not separate 3 days from journey, but they are in the land. And we cannot be effective if we're going to remain in the world. But we read on. Moses said, it is not meet so to do. We shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. What determination to obey the Lord. And where we find that there are some believers who don't want to be separate. They don't want to be too different. And so they stay in the world and usually end up in trouble. But look at that verse, verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Isn't that nice? Don't go 3 days. Why go 3 days? Just go a little ways. You know, don't be so different. Be one of the girls. Be one of the boys. Fraternize. Don't be so different. Don't be so unusual. And there are a lot of believers who have that attitude. They don't want to be too different from the people in the world. And you know where I find this mostly? Among psychiatrists. Christian psychiatrists and Christian psychologists. You see, the language of psychology is, oh, shall I say, 80% anti-biblical. And they use the language of psychology and psychiatry, not realizing that it's against the Word of God. I was very saddened recently to learn of a relative of mine in New York. When the last time I saw her, no time before, she was preparing to study medicine. I said, fine, go to it. The last time I saw her, she changed her major. She's going into psychology. Oh, I felt very bad. Because, as I said, they have a way of twisting things around, twisting the word around. And if you're not careful, you'd be talking more like a psychologist than a believer. Going not too far. Don't go too far away. And many people, many believers, don't want to go too far away. You know why? They're afraid of having the finger pointed at them. They're ashamed to be seen and counted as one of the Lord's. Look with me, please. Oh, let's take Hebrews chapter 11. Sacrifice, not very far away. Don't go so far away. Don't be so different. And those of you in school, you will find that. As I have repeatedly said, be one of the folks. Fraternize. There's no harm in a little cigarette puff and a little glass of beer and a little of this and a little of that. Let us not be ashamed. Stand for the truth. Hebrews chapter 11, please. Bearing reproach. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I tell you, if he had been pleased to remain and to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he'd be next to the first man in the land. He'd ever have everything that he desired. Suppose he were offered that. He could have everything he desired. Land, beautiful house, chauffeured car, the latest model car, all the comforts, a winter home and a summer home. Suppose he were offered all that. Would you exchange it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you exchange that for being here tonight? With this humble company. But that's what Satan was offered. That's what they offered to Moses. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And notice what the Bible says. Pleasures of sin. There's a lot of fun in sin. There are a lot of pleasures in sin. But they're only for a season. It's far better to be separated unto the Lord and with the Lord, and then to enjoy those pleasures for a season. And if you follow the lives of most of these
people out in Hollywood, they're the ones I like to refer to, you find that basically they have everything they want, but they're very miserable. And anytime you have a chance to talk to them, get near to them, read their biographies, you'll find they're miserable people. And these rich people, the only rich people that I know of that are happy are those that are saved. And all the rest of them, with all that they have, they are miserable. Moses was pleased, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Oh, how we, what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what we have in his holy word, we are far better off than all the millionaires wherever they may be found. Moses was not ashamed to be identified with the Lord's people. 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. Or rather, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Sacrifice not far away. Don't go too far from the world. Don't be so different. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his servant, prisoner. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't be afraid to go the whole distance with the Lord. Partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And then we read similarly in verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many times he ministered to me at Ephesus and so forth. And then you read further of him in verse 16. A man that was willing to stand out and up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a very noble character that we read of in the Bible. But he made one mistake. And that was Jonathan. Nice young man, very fine fellow, good friend of David. But he made one mistake. He failed to be identified with David, and that's why he got in trouble. Let's look at him a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 4. First Samuel 18, verse 4. His mistake was that he didn't separate himself completely from the world. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 4. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. There is one thing that Jonathan did not strip himself of, and that's what got him in trouble. You know what that is? He didn't give David his shoes. And you read in the next verse, David went into the wilderness, even as Saul sent him, and behaved wisely. Now come with me to chapter 23. Chapter 23. Verse 15. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in the woods. See? Not a very comfortable place, especially at nighttime in the winter. David was in the woods. Jonathan, David's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God, a real friend. He said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. Thou shalt be
king over Israel? I shall be next unto thee, and that also my father knows. He's going to be next to the king. They too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. He separated himself from David. He refused to be identified with David in his humiliation. Again, I say he wouldn't have been able to go back to his house if he had given David his shoes. He'd have to stay there with David in the wood. And that's the mistake he made. And we must be careful in our service for the Lord to leave the world. Don't stay close to the world. You'll be in trouble. Now, chapter 31, please. He left David in the wood, and he went to the comfort of his house. And you know how comfortable a house can be in the wintertime. You have nice heat. And in the summertime, especially in our civilization, you have air conditioning. Consider the temperature outside and how comfortable we are in here. David was in the wood. Hot in the day and cold at night. And Jonathan went home at ease. Chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down in Mount Gibeon. The Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. The Philistines did what? Slew Jonathan. If he'd stayed there with David, he wouldn't have slain him. But he didn't want to be identified with David in his humiliation and rejection. He went not entirely into the world, but he didn't stay with David. The story is told of a little girl. And beloved, we have to have courage to be different. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. She was at high school, and you know how it is when you're a senior. You have the senior prom. I take it that they still have those. That's what they had when I went to high school. And at the senior prom, the young ladies dressed in their best, and the young men dressed in their best, and they went to the prom. And this was a young Christian girl. And someone met her and said, "I hear you are not going to the prom." She said, "No, I'm not going." This other girl said, "Everybody is going." You know what this Christian girl said? "Everybody is not going. I'm somebody and I'm not going." That's what we need, to stand for the Lord. Don't let the world influence us to go into the things of the Lord. And you find the same thing with Peter in Matthew 26. We won't turn to it. You remember Peter followed the Lord afar off? Well, if he's far from the Lord, he must be near to the world. He can't be in both places. And you know the trouble that he got into. But we must go on now. The time is moving. That clock doesn't wait for anybody. Now the next thing. Worship in the land, that's one compromise. Don't go too far, the next. Now, Exodus chapter 10. Compromise number 3. And oh, beloved, as we read this, you know, this Bible is very up to date, you know that? For all its age, it's very current. Exodus chapter 10, verse 8. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, "Go serve the Lord your God, but who are those that shall go?" Moses said, "We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, and with the herds, will we go?"
we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be with you as I will let you go, you and your little ones, for evil is after you. Not so. This is Pharaoh's proposition. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. What's he doing? And that's one of the troubles in the world today, isn't it? All these families, well, partial families without men. Men who don't want to face their responsibility. He says, let the men go and let the others stay right here. And that's another ploy that you find of the devil. Men going off by themselves, refusing to be associated with their families. But you know, that was not God's will to begin with. We read in the book of Genesis that God created them. How did he create them? Male and female. He didn't create all men to go off by themselves. As one brother has said, he created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We could go into that, but I won't take up that. So that's another subject. But the idea is the men only breaking up the family. And that's what we see today. The breaking up of the family. Now, the American Economic Society, it's interesting, as I often say, the names of these societies. The American Economic Society. My. That's quite a name. Well, those fellows must know a lot. They're real smart. The American Economic Society. They define the family as follows. Two or more persons who share commitments regardless of blood, legal ties, adoption, or marriage. Yeah. That's a family. But not in God's book. Not in God's way. Yeah, by the way, the word family occurs in the Bible 100 times. In the singular. In the plural, it occurs 150 times. Must be something to it, huh? That the Lord mentions it so many times. There's a poem to the effect that word the world wants men, strong-hearted, manly men. We've got so many weak-hearted men. The fact that a man sires a child doesn't mean that he's a father. What he needs is to get there and provide. Read with me in Genesis. I have to be careful how I speak because I call this a fascinating, the whole book is fascinating. But read with me the principles that are laid down in the Bible. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Verses 6 and 7. Do you want to know the order and who's to do what in the house? In the family? It's right here. Chapter 18, verse 6. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf, tender and young, and gave it unto the young men, and he hastened to dress it. What do we have here? Abraham provided, and Sarah prepared. And that's what that says. And that's what a family should be. The man is to provide, and the wife is to prepare. Which, by the way, reminds me of that which Brother George and I have said so many times together. The Lord has really blessed the women in this assembly. You really can cook. I must commend you. You're carrying out your God-given responsibility. But that's what make a home. And with the men away, you don't have a home. Or you may have a house. But every house doesn't have a home in it. You remember the story of the little boy
and their house caught fire and was burned down. You know what that boy said? He was about 8 or 9 years old. We don't have a house, but we still have a home. At 8 years, he could see that. And we have grown men today all over the world, and they haven't been able to see the truth of this. But we must go on to my 5 minutes. Let's move on. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go with you, but keep your business in the land. And what did Moses say? No. Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices, burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord. Our cattle also will go with us. Why did Moses want their cattle to go with them? Why was he so interested that their cattle should go with them? You get that in Genesis chapter 40. Their cattle must go with them. The men, the women, the children, and their cattle. Genesis chapter 40. I'm sorry, 46. Genesis chapter 46. Forty-six, verse 31. You must excuse me here. This Bible I haven't used in a while, and these pages don't want to separate. All right, verse 41. Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. The men are shepherds. Their trade hath been to feed cattle. They have been brought, they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. The men are shepherds. That was their business. Pharaoh says, Leave your business here and all the rest of you can go. Moses said, No. The same principles that require our separation in our business. Our business practices are to be also in separation. I have a number of scriptures here. We can't turn to them. Take Leviticus 19 and 35, Deuteronomy 25 and 13, Proverbs 11 and 1, 16 and 11. And when you go home, look them up. God does not want his people to deal dishonestly in business. The same principles of separation of the individual are to characterize our business practices. Story is told of a little boy, a young man, 15, 16, 17. He was an apprentice. And one day his natural boss was away. And in came this customer. Oh, I see your big boss is not here. Give me a little more. Just put a little more on the scale. And what do you think this young man said? He stood up and looked this man in the face and said, My boss is always here. How's that? How's that for standing up for God and for righteousness? But then you know the story of Joe the Butcher. I'm sure we've all heard of it. It was in one of our Sunday school papers recently. I suppose we've all read it. Saturday night. Joe the Butcher had one chicken left. In comes Mrs. Jones. Joe, I want a chicken.
Fine. He brings out the chicken, puts it on the scale, weighs so much, costs so much. Joe, do you have a bigger chicken? Joe took the same one in and brought it out, put it on the scale, put his finger on the balance, tipped the scale, and said, well, this one weighs so much and costs so much. And what do you think she said? Joe, I think I'll take both. Bad business practices. Our business practices must be the same as our separation unto the Lord. 3 days' journey must characterize us in our work for the Lord. James chapter 4, please, and verse 9. Verse 8, I'm sorry. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And if we want to live in the place of that 3-day separation, we must draw near to God. And it's amazing. He's so glad to have us. He draws near to us. But in our Christian walk and pathway, there must be no compromise. 3 days' journey into the wilderness. We must not be ashamed to stand up for the Lord. 3 days' journey, our business, our family, our all. There's a little more I might have said about the family. Read what the Lord said about Abraham. Read what Joshua said about his family. Read about what happened in Acts chapter 16, the Lord regards the family as the basis and the unit of the home. And in our Christian walk, we must not compromise in any degree at all. Just 2 verses, please, of 4:43. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Oh, that we might be nearer to the Lord and further from the world. No compromise.